Annabeth, I have admired the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra as a fan since I was probably 5 or 6 years old. My parents would let me use the record player, and they'd let me play this one album, the Emperor Concerto, with Claudio Arrau and the Concertgebouw and Bernard Haitink. I'm wondering, Annabeth, did you also grow up as a fan of the RCO?
Well, of course, being Dutch and growing up in Holland, there's actually no way to not be a fan of the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra growing up. I personally don't come from a family with musicians, but they were all doctors, but music was appreciated a lot, and all my sisters, and including me, were on violin lessons. So I have to say, orchestra came in my life rather late, I think. I was always more interested a bit in chamber music, and I think only from when I went to study actually in America, I started to really also play in symphony orchestras, and actually also got more interest in symphony orchestra. So, but of course, as a young girl, I did go to concerts in the Concertgebouw, and I would hear the Concertgebouw orchestra. So, you know, I've sort of grown up with it.
Mm. Those years of school are so wonderful for the opportunity to play all kinds of music, chamber and orchestral. You said you went to school in the States. Where was that?
I met the violin teacher Sylvia Rosenberg, actually in the masterclass in the Netherlands once when I was, I think, 16. And then we kept in contact, and she basically said, why don't you audition for the school where she was teaching at that moment? And that was Manhattan School of Music in New York. And I got in and studied with her there. Then the second year, she changed to go to Indiana in Bloomington. And I actually followed her there. So at the end, I got my degree from Bloomington, Indiana. So I was in New York and in Indiana.
You know, here in Michigan, I think we can relate to Indiana a little better than New York.
Yes, that's why I'm looking forward to go to Michigan.
After you finished school in Indiana, did you go back to Europe? How did your career progress?
Yeah, well, I got in. So after studying in America, I went back to Holland and I studied with, maybe you're familiar with the name because you are such a fan of the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra, but there were these two famous concertmasters actually in the period of Haitink, Herman Krebers and Theo Olof. They were both Dutch and they were both very amazing concertmasters, very different, but very good concertmasters. They were, so all the recordings with them, you know, in the early days are with them, basically. And I studied with Herman Krebers when I came back from the States. And also, he was a very, very good teacher. Unfortunately, he died, I think, now already 2 years ago. But he was an amazing teacher. And what was so amazing from his teaching is that he supported, you know, some violin teachers, they just want their students to win the major violin competitions and make them practice only Paganini caprices and violin concertos. And he was always supporting also very heavily chamber music and also orchestra playing. So when I told him I was thinking of doing a second violin audition in the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra, he supported it to the fullest and he prepared it with me very well. So I won the audition when I was still studying with him.
Mr. Kleggers, you said?
Yeah, Krebers. It's K-R-E. And then B-B-E-R-S, Krebers, Herman Krebers. He was amazing because he was a concertmaster, also playing chamber music and also playing as a soloist. So quite an intense career.
He had a very full life.
Yes, yeah. But it was so precious for me, you know, to have somebody support at that young age, to support to go in the orchestra, because that absolutely gave me the best options in my life, to be in that orchestra at such a young age and, you know, have a salary and then go from there enjoying and thinking what you can do. So I'm very, very grateful for that.
What is the history? When did it begin with the Camerata RCO? I mean, did the orchestra deliberately start a chamber ensemble?
No, I mean, first of all, this is really an independent ensemble. I mean, we carry the name Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra. We have certain rules to follow, of course. I mean, since we use the RCO brand, so to say, we are in constant communication with the orchestra about what the ensemble is doing. But everything has been arranged by ourselves. We're completely independent. And actually, the ensemble was not founded in a way that you would normally think, like, okay, people decide to have an ensemble and because of certain wishes. It just sort of happened by itself. Because the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra, I think it's different in the American orchestras, but in the summer we don't have concerts. So we have 6 weeks of free time in the summer. And most of the orchestral players then go with their families to more in the south of Europe to enjoy a bit warmer weather. And we happen to always go to Italy. And in Italy, there's all these wonderful little churches in the little towns. And in most of those churches, there are chamber music festivals going on, especially in the summer. You know, many tourists and local people come, and there is wine, and there's, you know, old history, and then there's chamber music going on. And so in the place where me and my husband, who's also a clarinet player in the orchestra and also a member of the Camerata RCO now, of course, they found out sort of that we are players of the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra in the small town that we're enjoying our holiday. And they said, why don't you come and play in our church in the chamber music festival? And that was really the birth of the ensemble, because then we just asked some colleagues, hey, do you want to come over to the place where we enjoy our holiday? We do a chamber music concert together. We have a good glass of wine and some pasta afterwards. That's really how it started. And I think it's always like a sort of funny story, but I think it's very crucial for the ensemble also in how we are in it, sort of, because we take it, of course, very professional, and by now we're touring around the world, but still the initial thought is really for fun, because I mean there's no need in that sense if you have a job in the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra to have another career next to it. Why would you want to do that? You know, I mean, we play in the best halls in the world with the most amazing conductors. Everything is arranged, and we play all the symphonic work that you can possibly think of. So there's no need to really invest and set something up. So it was really, Camerata just was born out of, and we loved it so much, playing chamber music with the colleagues that you know so well from, you know, being in the orchestra, but you actually don't know each other's playing so well when you're with 120 people on stage. So it was such a liberation, and specifically me and my husband always loved chamber music in the first place anyway, also next to the orchestra. So we were just so happy, and you know, from these concerts in, you know, we had one concert, made it two in the summer. Next summer, we had like a small agency working for us doing, like, we played, ever since we've been playing like 5, 6 to 10 concerts per year in Italy. Then, you know, we made recordings. Then, you know, it sort of all happened by itself. Now we have this wonderful American agency that brings us twice a year to America, which we love. And then we also have a management, I think, in Asia. And so we, you know, it all sort of, but the main idea always behind it is that we love doing it, you know, because, I mean, people also wonder, like, when do you do this? Because it's a full-time job, the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra. Don't get us wrong, you know, it's like hard work. But we then enjoy in the free Saturdays, in the free moments, in the free weeks, we then enjoy investing our free time in playing chamber music with the group that has now sort of become friends altogether. So, yeah, that's sort of how it all started.
Annabeth, where is Camerata RCO going on this particular tour of North America, besides Kalamazoo, obviously?
Yeah, well, Kalamazoo is the last one. Yeah, it's the final concert of the tour. So, we're going to enjoy a free day after that. It's going to be a final party in Kalamazoo. This tour, we're now in Calgary, where we play two concerts. And before that, we were upstate New York in Falling Trinity. We played in Charlottesville, and we played in Waterford, so to Virginia Day. And also in between, we played in Dumbarton Oaks in Washington, D.C. So that's this tour. But for example, last tour, we did through this wonderful agency, Alliance Artist Management, we were in the Florida Keys.
Very nice.
And we did, yeah, and it was a school holiday, so we actually took all our children. So that was very nice. And many of the players took their partners, so we had a holiday, work holiday tour.
Well, on the concert this Thursday in the Dalton Center Recital Hall at Western Michigan University, will you be performing this Mozart Brahms Dohnányi program?
Exactly, yes.
The Dohnányi, let's start at the very end. This is the biggest piece that has the most players in it. Would you tell us who the players are for the sextet?
Yeah, well, that's another crucial thing. I think that shows how much or what we're into with the Camerata Show. This program actually only needs one violin, because there's only one violin in the Brahms Horn Trio and only one violin. But we brought two, because both me and my colleague and friend, Mark Daniels and Vima, really wanted to be on this tour. And we said, you know, why not? We come both and we share the program. So before the break, I'm playing the violin. And after the break, Mark Daniels von Beeman is playing the violin. He actually also studied, he's in the first violin section in the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra. He's younger than I am. I think he's been in the orchestra now, might already be 10 years, but maybe a bit shorter. He also studied in America, funnily enough. He was in Yale University. So he's always also very happy to come back. And he plays the violin in the Dohnányi. On the viola, there's Willem Kionka. He's from Czech Republic and has been in the orchestra for quite a long time already also. Was playing in Hilversum in the radio orchestras before that. On cello, there's Laure Le Dantec. She was actually an academist in the orchestra, in the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra a few years ago, and has just recently won a job in one of the London orchestras. But her link to the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra is that she finished the academy of the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra. And then we have Fons Verspandonk, who is a Dutch fantastic horn player. I never know the positions in horn sections, how they divide it, but he's not the solo horn, but he could very easily be. He's just too relaxed to accept a job like that.
He will be on Thursday.
Player. Yes, he is, definitely. And then we have Hein Wiedek, who happens to be my husband. He's playing clarinet in the sextet, and he, in the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra, he's playing the second clarinet position and has been in the orchestra for a little longer than I was, so I think 25 years. And on piano, of course, until recently, I have to say, there was no piano position in the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra. They always hired subs to play the major piano part. It was not an open position. Just recently, or actually they're still in the process of changing this, but because there's no pianist in the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra until now, we're always free to take whichever pianist we like working with. And now we took on this tour Alisa Firsova, who is a great friend, and she's Russian, but she lives in London, and she's also a composer and even a conductor. And we, Camerata RCO, met Alisa Firsova, I think now 2 years ago, when we played in Italy in a festival in Asiago, and she was there, and we played pieces composed by her, and we also played together with her. And that's the nice thing when you have an ensemble like this and you get concerts, you know, you're free to choose with whoever you want to play. So we invited Alisa to come, and she's a great player, and especially Dohnányi, she plays wonderfully.
So much flexibility, so much versatility. Is it possible for concert goers to pick up a recording on Thursday night? Do you have CDs available or downloads?
Yeah. We have many CDs, actually. We were lucky to be having sponsors on the way that supported us in making CD recordings. So we bring quite a lot. We recorded the Mahler 9th symphony. It's a crazy idea, but we recorded it for 16 players. So we also have that CD. And then we also were lucky to record, actually a live recording, there's almost no editing been done, for the Schubert Octet, which has been a piece that's, of course, very crucial for Camerata RCO, because I'm sure you're familiar with the Schubert Octet, but it represents, in a way, a full symphony orchestra, but then in chamber music size, because you have strings, you have woodwinds, and you have a brass, you know. Yeah. So people like to hear that from us. And we've played it a lot also in tours in America. Not this tour, but the other tour. And so we brought that recording. And then I think we also have recordings of like the standard Mozart clarinet quintet in combination with two wonderful pieces by Mendelssohn that are not only for clarinet and strings, but also for clarinet, saxhorn and strings.
Well, I want to finally remember to focus back on the program for Thursday night. I brought up the Dognagny, but I'm not too familiar with it. I don't know what to say about this sextet other than it looks like it has a wonderful variety of sounds in it, and Dognagny had a sort of late romantic vibe about him.
Well, I mean, it is indeed a not very, very familiar piece, and I think that's also something that Camera Sergio loves to bring, is not the only standard repertoire. And also especially, I mean, when do you hear a piece with piano, strings, clarinet and horn? You never actually hear that. So we're also enjoying the unfamiliarness of it, in a way, in that it's, as I said, I am not actually playing in that piece, but I've been listening to it after the break. And, I mean, of course, you really, what is striking is the Hungarian rhythm that you really hear in it, especially the last movement just swings, you know, out of it. And I think what is really also very beautiful to hear is the different timbres that you get when you have, for example, a melody line between violin, which is quite high, and then the horn playing lower, or viola and clarinet. I think the combination in timbres is really, really nice. So I love the piece.
You are playing the Trio for Horn, Violin, and Piano, Opus 40 by Johannes Brahms. I revere this piece.
Well, that alone, that piece alone, you understand, is enough. Is worth enough to go on an American tour. You know, playing that piece is just a dream come true. And then with Fons and Alisa, we're amazing players. But what can we say? Brahms is Brahms. It's incredibly beautiful. It's of course it has a lot of energy. I mean, the second and the last movement are really vital. And then there's the heart, well, not heartbreaking, but very emotional second movement. Is it the second one? The slow movement, where since Brahms wrote this just after his mother had died, and it's very emotional, beautiful slow movement, but it's just breathtaking. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to playing that.
Just from the recordings I've heard, there are many approaches to each of the movements and ways to express it. Are you a player that decides on a specific interpretation, or do you find yourself changing it up a little bit from concert to concert?
Yes, I definitely, I do. I'm not this kind of player that knows, like, okay, this trio and that trio played this way and faster and slower. And, you know, I really try to get my own ideas. It's not that I'm not frantically, like, not listening to other recordings, but it's not that I have this catalog in my mind and I sort of choose myself in between somewhere. It's more that I, you know, what I think I noticed from being an orchestral player for so long, and I hope, I always feel that as an addition to my playing, is that, you know, when I would not have had this job in the orchestra for so long, I mean, of course, we have played all the symphonies. And, you know, you hear that in the trio, even, you know. I mean, you sort of, you know the vocabulary of Brahms so well. If you only play his chamber music, if you only play his chamber music, you don't have the same feeling, I believe, as when you recognize this vocabulary in the symphony. So I really enjoy putting that link in my mind. And I definitely am a player that changes ideas from concert to concert. I'm not one that marks in the part what I do, even like string rings. I like to invent a lot of things on the spot. I like to be spontaneous. So that's sort of my way. It's also, I think it's also, again, something that you learn from being an orchestral player, because you read so quickly so much music that you're not we're very fast in that. You know, like you're, if you would be dependent on every fingering you put in the part, what happens if in a concert, in an orchestral concert, first of all, you don't have time to put in all the fingerings in all the parts that are in front of you every week. And then what happens is suddenly you have to move to a different stand and you cannot take your own part. You know, I mean, you have to be flexible in reading. So it's I guess it's the quality that has been given to me by playing in the orchestra for so long. So, yeah, I mean, one funny thing, which might be interesting to say on the radio in America, is that one of my favorite recordings of the Brahms trio is actually with violinist Jaap van Zweden.
So wait, Jaap van Zweden, who is the New York Philharmonic conductor?
He is the chief conductor of New York Phil, but you cannot believe, I think it's on Spotify to be found, he was an amazing violinist. You know that he was the concertmaster of Concertgebouw Orchestra at age 17, invited by Bernard Haitink himself. I mean, that's where he gets all his knowledge from, being a conductor like that. But people, I think, don't realize how good a violinist he was. And please do take a chance and listen to the Brahms Horn Trio with Jaap van Zweden. You will be surprised. It's amazing. The horn player there is Jacob Slachter, who used to be the first horn of the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra, and a good friend of Fons, and he's also very good. And please do have to take the time to listen to that recording.
Well, we were ending at the same place we began, with being a fan of the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra.
Yeah.
Annabeth, thank you very much for previewing this concert with me. And I think we'll leave it there for now, but I'll see you on Thursday night.
Yeah, looking very much forward. Please come and say hello, and I'll be very happy to meet you.
Okay. Yes. I think this will draw quite a lot of the Kalamazoo music-loving community to the hall.
I hope so. I hope to meet